This past week, we celebrated our Mississippi Annual Conference meetings for several days in Jackson. Great time of worship. I was very pleased with our bishop and the things that he shared with us and how he led us. It was great to see so many people from our church being asked to be equalizing delegates like Corey and several others, and to see them participate. David Stotts and Ed Jones all spoke at the conference, and Ben and I are glad to be reappointed back to our church for another year, so it was a good week together. But let me just go ahead and tell you, it was 3 or 4 days of meetings. So I need God's forgiveness, because there were some times in those meetings where I was struggling, right? 14-hour days of sitting in a chair, arguing back and forth about a couple of things, and then you bump into a psalm like Psalm 32. That acknowledges, and if you're a note taker, acknowledges our need for the admission of sin. Definitely in these first verses, starting with verse 1, is this reminder to us that, yes, we all struggle. And that's a truth we can't miss. And sometimes if you listen to certain Christian speakers, we might miss that. But in the South, most of us have been to those revival meetings where we left knowing sin was serious. You ever left a revival meeting going, I'm a low-down, dog, dirty sinner, right? Just nothing good in me. The Lord loves us. But Scripture will, thank you, Todd. But Scripture won't let us miss that. God loves us enough to say there has to be admission of that need, an admission of that fault. And David, the writer of this song, knows that too well. And here and in other scriptures, he readily admits that. First is admission. Second would be confession. And you see that well in verse 5. And again, you don't just see that here with David. You see it in Psalm 51 and elsewhere of David bringing, not just saying, yes, I am a sinner, but bringing that confession before the Lord. And this is not just, hey, you know what I did. This is gut-wrenching confession. Psalm 51, here and elsewhere. And most Bible scholars think this is after Nathan has rebuked David, after David's been called out for his terrible sin. And so you see him not only wrestling spiritually, but in here and elsewhere, almost this emotional and mental and even physical anguish that comes because of sin and guilt. Been there? Not just say, I know that I sinned, but just that kick to the gut. Oh, Lord, what have I done before you? What have I done? I need to confess that before you. Admission, confession. But then after that, and this is really the way this psalm builds, is profession. In verse 6, you see this beginning, this profession of faith, this not only profession of faith, of forgiveness, but he's so encouraged by God's grace that he's telling others, you need to pray for this as well. And it builds into verse 11 when he says, don't just say it, shout it. I want you to scream about this great grace. Rejoice in him and shout for the joy that's been given to us. I like how one commentary puts it. A forgiven soul can best counsel others facing temptation, urging constant sensitivity towards God. In such souls, sheer gladness keeps evil at bay. When you and I admit and acknowledge our sin and confess that before the Lord, and we know the freeing grace of Christ, boy, can the Lord use a life like that. Somebody who knows, yes, I've blown it. Listen, some of us, and I said this last week, some of us looking at our past think God could never use us. I think about my life. How in the world is God going to use me in the ways I've stumbled and bumbled? And we're reminded here, even with the horrific sin of David, how God used him because he admitted his sin, he confessed his sin, and then he went out and professed God's grace. Could you say in just a few minutes, this is something I'm hoping we're going to do next spring, just learn how to do this better. Could you say within 3 minutes who you were before you met Jesus, how you met Jesus, and how he changed your life? Could you do that? Because I'm telling you, there's nothing like a Christian testimony. Preachers can preach till we're blue in the face. And when the word of God is shared, yes, it does not come back void. But when we'll just be real with our faith with somebody, yeah, this is who I was. This is how I met Jesus. I don't have to be that way anymore. Here's how he's made a difference. That's when the rubber meets the road for most people. That's how most people come to faith. This testimony of David, boy, I had blown it here. But let me tell you about the grace of God. Let me shout to you about the changing and transforming grace of God. And then this one little preacher cheat. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is not in this passage, okay? I'm cheating right now, all right? But I heard our bishop, I had planned to say this, but then our bishop said this. So he's better than I am. So I'm going to use his voice to share this with you, okay? Here's what our bishop said this week at conference to us. In the South, we are trained not to know each other. We are trained not to expose our lives to each other. But when it gets real with Jesus and we get real with others, that's what people are looking for. What we tend to do is not only when we sin, and we see that in Adam's and Eve's response to sin, they go and hide, and they don't hide well. But that's what we do with each other. When there's sin in our life, when there's struggle in our life, or even when there's hurt in our life, we just hide and we cover, just like Adam and Eve, we just cover up our lives poorly. We step back and we're not real with anybody. And what our bishop is saying and what we're finding out in David's life, what I found out in my life, maybe you found out in your life, we can have that kind of Galatians 6 life together where we restore each other, we bear each other's burdens, we share all good things, we do good to all men when we have that kind of openness, whether it's in Sunday school or a small group or just a good friend in the Lord you can be real with. We just don't shake sin, as I heard a seminary professor say, we just don't shake sin well by ourselves. God can do it, but we just, the accuser of the brethren will come and whisper things into our ears, and if we stay alone in that struggle, we're gonna stay stuck in the stuff that nobody knows we're doing with our money. We're going to stay stuck in pornography. We're going to stay stuck in our hate of somebody. We just don't do well alone. And so no wonder James says, just confess your sins one to another. Be able to be real with somebody, because we all hide really, really well. I'm not saying get up in front of the church. If you want to, God bless, has a biblical pattern for that. Could you be real with somebody? Because otherwise the devil will just beat us down with lies and keep us in our shame, and that's not what's here in Psalm 32. David could have done that, got called out in front of everybody. I'm just gonna wallow. I'm just gonna fold. It's not what you see in David's life. And that's really, and this is the last word, progression. That's what you see here in verse 11, but really throughout this passage, this deepening joy that comes. And as much as this passage is about forgiveness, really, if you watch it, it's about all the benefits that we have in Christ. Yes, this admission and confession of sin, but then this talk as you get further along in verse 5 of the removal and the relief of guilt. Verse 7, the security of God that can come. Verse 10, that we're now surrounded by God because of his grace and our confession. And finally, at verse 11, this celebration and joy. This world is not always full of happiness because, matter of fact, I read a poll recently that said that parents versus single people or married people without children aren't as happy as people who are single or married without children. Well, duh. There's heartbreak in that. There's heartbreak in all of life. Don't miss me. There's heartbreak in that. There's struggle in that. There's schedules in that. Yes, there's going to be happenings. But that same poll said there's just a deep fulfillment that comes with that as well. As we look at our sin, yes, as with David, our hearts are breaking. But what is it the hymn writer says? But oh, the joy that floods my soul, right? Because of the touch and the grace of our Savior. And that's the grace he wants us to know. Not just the forgiveness of God. Praise God for that. Why we celebrate this meal, this reminder of our need for his continuing mercy and grace, his continuing filling, but filling. Oh, the joy he wants us to have. Not always happy. If you listen to Jesus, most of what he says are not happy producing things. Take up your cross. Even your family might hate you. This world is going to hate you. On and on. But oh, the joy that we can know. Not just freedom from guilt, but abundant life. Life that is full. Is there anything keeping you back this morning from that? Whether it be a sin that's keeping you from really being real before the Lord and coming before the Lord as David did and saying, I'm broken before you for what I've done, but also not to know and trust his word and to have the joy that he promises to give to us. What did David say? Just renew a right spirit within me. God was faithful to do that. He'll be faithful to do that with us. And how we know that is this meal. It's a reminder to us always of God's great grace for us. Christ told us again to remember this meal, to celebrate this meal when we remember him, to know again of the forgiveness of sins, but also of the great love and joy and peace we have in him. And so we remember this day on the night in which Christ gave himself up for us. He took bread, and he took that bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's pray together. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.